gospel lesson is found on page 843 in your Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every infirmity. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every infirmity. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother; James the son of Zebedee and John his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew the tax collector; James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite; and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, charging them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And preach as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without pay, give without pay." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can come together to worship you this morning. You make that possible through your Son, Jesus Christ, and for that we are grateful that we have been redeemed. We are your children. Father, help us to be faithful as your children. Open our ears to hear your voice this morning. Open our minds to understand, our hearts, Lord, set them on fire with love for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, just as the occasion of Mother's Day had me thinking about my mom, so this occasion of Father's Day has me thinking about my dad. As a young kid, I remember being pretty oblivious about what my friends' dads did for a living. At that point in my life, being an audiologist or a pharmacist did not mean a whole lot. If I heard a friend's dad was an engineer, I immediately went to trains in my mind. If they were an electrical engineer, that meant electric trains. If a nuclear engineer, I guess nuclear trains, I don't know. I did know what my own dad did for a living. He designed and built homes. That was his labor in my younger days. And I always thought that was really cool. Part of why I knew what my dad did is because I had seen the evidence of his work. Also because occasionally he would take my brothers and me to the current house project to help do some work. One particular day that involved helping cut down the grass that had become overgrown. What I mainly remember about that day, however, was chasing all the toads that were living in the grass. And I tell you, there were scads of them. They were all over the place. Through the years growing up, I learned a lot from my dad about various tools and how to use them. That didn't happen in abstract ways, however. I cannot remember a single instance when my dad said, "Come, sit down and let me tell you all about tools and how to use them." The way I learned was by working alongside him when he was using particular tools for particular jobs. And that continued into my adulthood as we would work on various projects together. In fact, when I would visit home on vacation, we would invariably get involved doing some project together, things I'd never try by myself. knowing he was with me in whatever labor we pursued, was both encouraging and empowering for me. Together, we did things I never could have done on my own. Well, today's psalm and lessons combine to lead us to realize that same dynamic as children of God. In the first lesson, we heard God describe how he had brought the people of Israel into being, delivering them from bondage in Egypt in order to establish them as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In the psalm, we hear the joyful praise of the people given to God because the Lord himself is God, acknowledging the plain truth that it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. In the epistle lesson, we hear the Apostle Paul describe the expansive grace of God, providing peace with God for all who trust in Christ, being justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a sure and certain hope which is grounded in the immeasurable love of God demonstrated in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All of that put together reinforces the same basic truth that has always been true. We exist as God's people because he has made us his people. Our standing in relationship with God is purely and only a result of his loving grace making that possible through Jesus Christ. We call him Father because apart from him and what he has done, we would not exist. Well, as our Father, he calls us to join in the work he is doing in the world, which has implications reaching even beyond the world. It's a type of work characterized in today's gospel lesson as laborers sent into his harvest. We've heard it many times from Jesus that he came to do the Father's will, his work, the labor set out for him. To follow Jesus, among other things, is to follow his example. Meaning what for us? Well, that is what is described here. We're on page 843 in the Pew Bibles, if you want to follow. First, note the quality of compassion in the labor of Jesus. In verse 36, we read, Jesus, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Did you hear that description? Distressed because they were being bullied and harassed by oppressive leaders. Dispirited because they were helpless to do anything to find their way out or rescue themselves from the situation. They were indeed like sheep without a shepherd. This is sort of a behind the scenes look at the state of the world, and it's not pretty. I think of what is often said, if you ever saw behind the scenes how a hot dog is made, you would never eat another hot dog. It would be too repulsive. But rather than simply being repulsed by the sorry state of the world, we are to be moved by compassion to address the needs, to recognize that people are floundering in life, that they are groping in the dark and therefore often grasping at straws. This kind of godly compassion is not sentimentality for an imagined dream world of yesteryear, but it's an honest response to people who are distressed and downcast in all kinds of ways. Godly compassion is always love in action for the benefit of others, a response which moves us to labor on their behalf, following the example of Jesus who has labored on our behalf. The compassion moves the gritty labor. The glory of the harvest is yet to come. Second, along with the quality of compassion, note also the air of expectancy in the labor. Verse 37, Jesus continues speaking to his disciples, saying, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Jesus was not just offering encouragement based on a positive attitude here. Because he was intimately familiar with the labor of the Father, he knew the harvest was ready for the picking. Not meaning that everyone would be excited and responsive to the message being given and work being done, but meaning that there are plenty who need it and many who will respond. Can I be honest here? It can be very difficult to persevere in laboring for the Lord when we are skeptical about the results. We do need to keep in mind that Jesus never promised everyone would love us and respond favorably to our efforts in sharing the gospel and bearing witness to Christ. In fact, there are plenty of instances he said it will be hard for us, just as it was hard for him. But we also need to be mindful that the harvest is real and significant. Our faithful labor for the Lord will have results. And even if we don't see it directly today, those results will have eternal significance. And then third, with the air of expectancy, note the place of prayer in the labor. Verse 38, Jesus continues, "Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Understand something, folks. This is not an afterthought once we have everything figured out, but a starting place to determine what God would have us do. Some may be tempted to hear this in a way that we are called only to pray that God would find somebody to do the work. Somebody else, that is. Do you remember Moses at the burning bush? Great scene, wasn't it? God speaking to Moses out of the burning bush. And do you remember his response when God called him to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt? When he heard that, he initially responded to God by saying, "Here am I, Lord, send Aaron." We laugh, but I tell you, my heart twinges at the same time because I know sometimes I do exactly that. I could be wrong, but I doubt very seriously that God is calling anyone here to be involved with skydiving evangelism. Anybody feel that calling? I didn't know. Although it does seem that there would be some distinct advantages to that ministry context, plummeting through the sky. Have you ever thought about... Anyway. Praying to the Lord of the harvest will be instrumental in hearing what He is calling us to do. That is precisely what has led us to explore and pursue some of the new ministry efforts over this past year. Through prayer, we have sought direction from God, and He has given us direction in response. Folks, we need to keep praying like that. And then fourth, following the place of prayer, note the source of authority for the labor. In verse 1 of chapter 10, we read, "Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness." Our labor for the Lord is going to be done faithfully only when we do what he calls us to do and in the manner in which he calls us to do it. An interesting detail is that this is the only place in Matthew's gospel where the 12 are called apostles. Verse 2 goes on to name them. "Now the names of the 12 apostles are these," and it says who they are. The only place they're ever referred to as apostles. The word comes from the Greek word apostello, meaning to send with a commission. This being a preparatory training session for the larger scope of the Great Commission we heard about last week. Here, the laborers being sent out in teams of two to work together. For those first apostles, they were being sent out under the authority of Jesus, who had received his authority from the Father. And what does he tell them to do? we hear it in verses 7 and 8. Jesus saying to them, "And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." Jesus had summoned his 12 disciples and commissioned them as apostles. As such, they were to be engaged in the labor he gave them to do without being encumbered by the distractions of worldly concerns. Bringing the good news of the kingdom to people by addressing a blend of both spiritual and physical needs. They were thereby required to trust in Jesus' authority, his power, and his provision rather than relying on their own limited resources, which never would have been enough. Only then would they see the plentiful harvest spoken of by Jesus. I've told you before about the day my parents went to the grocery store, leaving the five of us kids at home. Never happened after that day. Actually, that's not true. But on this particular occasion, my brother John claimed to have been given orders by my dad for us to build a treehouse. You see where this is going. Supposedly, Dad had shown him the plans, so he just needed to follow John's directions and everything would be great. The problem was that my dad had given no such orders and there were no such plans. The resulting fiasco left a 20-foot tall stump where there used to be a flourishing tree. If we are going to be involved with the Father's labor, we cannot just make it up on our own. We do not have the authority, much less the expertise or resources to pull it off. Only as we labor the way the Father calls us to labor will we see the harvest the Father promises to bring. Even when we are unclear about where it's all going to lead, we are called to labor faithfully today. Some of you will recognize the name Corrie Ten Boom. Some of you, yeah, a few of you do. As Christians, her family was active in hiding, protecting, and providing transport for Jewish people fleeing the murderous regime of Nazi Germany. A difficult labor in difficult times with limited resources at best. Not knowing what the future would bring, they still persevered in their labor for the Lord. Later, she wrote and spoke often about what she had learned through those experiences. One important lesson she learned, as she put it, was this: never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Folks, the baton has been passed from previous generations of believers to those of us who are believers in our own generation. We cannot simply rest on the labors of others. Our calling is to engage in the labor of our Heavenly Father for the building up of His kingdom. Moved by the same compassion He has demonstrated to us, mindful of the harvest He has for us together, purposeful in prayer for His guidance, operating under His divine authority to do what He calls us to do. That is how we participate in the Father's labor. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it is awesome to think that you would involve us in your work in the world. But it is something that has always been true for your people. Sometimes it can be bewildering, sometimes confusing, sometimes scary. In those moments, draw us ever closer to yourself. Let us remember you are our Heavenly Father. Help us to trust you even when we don't see what's going to happen in the future. We can do that because we know you and your love for us. May our lives be given to the labor of showing that love to others in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.